What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host and your tour guide around the swag, Charles Wells, aka C Wells, coming at you. And we're gonna preview week two. We're already heading into the second week of the season, and as the cliche goes, you see your most improvement between the first and second game of the season. So we're gonna see if that holds true for everybody. There are 9 games on the schedule, so this is going to be a bit of a kind of a overview of all these games that's taking place this week. We have 3 FBS games, so that's 3 checks to be collected. Got a couple FCS games, non-conference, no conference games on the schedule, so everybody's playing out of conference this week, so we'll see how that goes. Socials are down on the screen below, as usual. Hit the podcast anchor.fm/swagtalk. Also found on Spotify, Stitcher, Breaker, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. Also, if you haven't done so already, want you go ahead and subscribe to the channel. Hit that notification bell to be alerted to any content that I upload. Like the videos and share them, and feel free to comment whenever you want on the videos. I definitely enjoy your comments, so make sure to chime in. Tomorrow, 6:30 Central Time, 7:30 Eastern, live edition of Swag Smoke. We're going to do that again, see how it goes. So make sure to come out and check that out and communicate with us as the show goes on. So let's go ahead and jump into week two, man. We're not going to waste too much time. A lot of games to talk about. Going to try to cover them as best as we can. The first game I want to start off with is Texas Southern heads to Waco to take on the Baylor Bears. That game is a 6 o'clock kickoff. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Baylor defeated Texas State on Saturday 29-20. So they come in at 1-0. They actually ended up running for 238 yards in that game on 45 carries. They averaged 5.3 yards per carry defensively. They only allowed 79 yards rushing on 2.9 yards per carry. Neither team did much in the air. 148 yards passing for Baylor, 15-24. 156 yards passing for Texas State, 20-43. They did have 3 interceptions. So defensively, Baylor did a good job of forcing turnovers. The leading rusher was Tristan Ebner, 20 carries, 126 yards. No touchdowns. Abram Smith, 19 carries, 118 yards, 2 touchdowns. So that looks like a two-headed monster in the backfield. Garrett Bohannon was a starting quarterback. He went the whole way, 15-24, 148 yards. They lost Charlie Brewer, who was their quarterback. He grad transferred to Utah, so that's a new face at quarterback. R.J. Sneed and Tyquan Thornton were the 2 leading receivers, both with 5, 6, and 5 receptions, respectively. Nobody else had more than 1 after that. The leading tackler on the season, on the game, was Terrell Bernard. He had 9 tackles, as well as Dylan Doyle. So those are just some names that you need to look out for Baylor. For Texas Southern, obviously this is a money game, so you're not going to get too up in arms about what to expect. I thought they had a decent outing against Prairie View. They did have they were unable to stop the pass in that game. Prairie View actually was able to have some success running the ball as well. So that's something that Texas Southern gonna have to clean up. Ladarius Owens was the leading rusher for Texas Southern on the night. Jaylen Brown is obviously the guy at quarterback that you want to keep an eye out on. He didn't have the best of nights, but that's a guy to keep an eye out on. At receiver, you want to look out for Keelan Davis, Jaron Johnson. I still say look out for Jonathan Giles, but, man, that guy still hasn't really made the plays yet, but that's a guy to keep an eye out on. So they do have some talent at Texas Southern, obviously. Obviously, that's just a team who's going to be around. They're going to be – I still think they're going to be a factor in the SWAC, but this game is not the game for them. I think they take this one on the chin. I think Baylor will win this game by a score of 63-10. I think Bella will take care of business in this one, and Texas Southern will move on to their next game. Our next FBS game that we want to talk about is Auburn and Alabama State. That game is an 11 a.m. kickoff on the SEC Network. So if you want to check that out, make sure you tune in to that. The Baylor game will be on ESPN Plus. So if you want to check that out as well, feel free. Auburn is 1-0. They stumped Kent State 60-10. So that's, you know, they're playing well. Tank Bigsby is their guy running back. 13 carries, 119 yards, and 2 touchdowns in that game. So, you know, they have a new coach in Byron Harsin from Boise State. So they are gonna go through a little bit of a change. Bo Nix is the guy, quarterback, been there forever. 20 or 22 on the night, 275 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Receiving, they were led by Shadrick Jackson, 5 catches, 79 yards. Defensively, their leading tackler on the night was Zacoby Martin, I think that is, Zacoby McClain. 7 tackles on the night. And Auburn's Auburn, you know, they're gonna have talent. They're gonna make plays. They still are a team that is gonna be more run heavy because they don't necessarily have the guys to have a pass heavy offense. But Boise State used to run the ball a lot in their tenure when Harsin was there. So I think they're gonna kind of stick with that. Alabama State had a 14-13 victory over Miles College on Saturday. Had a couple opportunities to put the game away early, but was unable to do so. Scored on their first drive. Second drive, they had a chance to score, couldn't. Didn't score again until overtime after Miles scored their touchdown, and then they blocked the extra point. So with Alabama State, I'm looking for them to in this game just to, you know, try to go out and play as well as you can and get some, you know, get some opportunities for some of your guys to make some plays. A guy like Ezra Gray, maybe he can, you know, break a couple of runs and, you know, get some attention that he deserves and just, you know, go out and do the best you can, make some plays and get that check and get back and get ready for swag play. So not going to dwell too much on this one. I'm going to say Auburn. I'm going to stay in the 60s again, but I think I'm going to say 66-17, I think Alabama State going to be able to get a couple big plays. And with a guy like Ezra Gray as a return man, he may even bust one in a game like this. So I look forward to seeing if they can put on any kind of a show in that game. Our last FBS FCS matchup is UCF and Bethune-Cookman. UCF defeated Boise State on Friday 36-31. And they're definitely an offensive team. They're led by Dylan Gabriel at quarterback. He's a guy who is definitely a big play passer. He was 25 of 39 on the night, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 263 yards. They only ran the ball for they were 25 of 37, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 318 yards. They ran the ball for 255 yards on the night, 48 carries, 5.3 yards per carry, giving them a total of 573 yards of offense, 6.7 yards per carry, 6.7 yards per play. So UCF's been a big play team, and they're going to continue to do that. I expect this to be another game where the score is going to go up. Bethune-Cookman, I think, you know, they had a very good outing against UTEP, and I think they're going to continue to play well in these kind of games, but UTEP and UCF are two different types of teams. I think UCF is going to get out early and get their scores up. Bethune-Cookman is going to fight because that's what they do. They're not going to quit. But I'm going to say UCF 49, Bethune-Cookman 20. I think they'll be able to get a couple touchdowns on the board. Their offense right now is led by Shannon Patrick, the UAPB transfer. He was 15 of 22 in the first game, 215 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. Quayshon Byrd was the leading rusher on the night, 12 carries, 98 yards, and a touchdown. And Kent Kamari Everett, four catches for 72 yards and a touchdown. And Marcus Riley, five catches, 72 yards and a touchdown. So they, you know, these guys will have opportunity to make some plays, but UCF is just a different beast than UTEP. So that's pretty much where I stand on that matchup. The next matchup we have is Florida A&M taking on Fort Valley State, 5 o'clock kickoff. That game would be on radio, can be heard on the Rattler Sports Network. And Florida A&M is coming in, obviously, off of a game that most people have watched, and have this game has been talked about and broken down multiple times. So not a lot to really say about that game. But the game against Jackson State was obviously a defensive battle. Offensively, they still have some work to do. They have a lot of talent on that offense. You know, you cannot sleep on that offense whatsoever. They are moving on at quarterback. So they're going to start the freshman at quarterback. And hopefully this will be a game that he can kind of come in and get some things done and get, you know, get acclimated to running this offense and getting them in the right frame of mind. It's going to be a tough battle. Fort Valley State is a team that shut out Tuskegee 30-0 on Sunday. And so that's definitely a team that's coming in hot, and they're going to want to, you know, make some things happen. Didn't necessarily have a crazy game statistically. I mean, they only ran for 118 yards on the night. They passed for 166. So they won this game 30-0 with 284 yards of offense, averaging 4.4 yards per play. But defensively, they held Tuskegee to 103 yards of total offense, 2 yards per play. Tuskegee fumbled seven times and lost four. They also threw an interception. So that's, you know, they were able to do this through turnovers, basically. So statistically, I think this game is, you know, going to be a game that Florida A&M can win. Obviously, that defense was very salty against Jackson State. Now, I expect them to continue to make some plays, probably going to get some turnovers and be able to score some points as well. I think the offense will get back on track. It may not be pretty, especially, you know, with a first-time starter out there, but they're going to find their way. And hopefully they can keep that running game going. I like what they was doing in the Jackson State game with that running game. So everybody knows what the receivers can do, but it's really going to be up to the running game to keep this team going, because people are always going to try to slow down their passing game. So as long as their running game can go, they're going to be in good shape, because that's definitely going to help them in games like this, where, you know, you're trying to get your quarterback acclimated. If you can run the ball, that helps them set up some of their pass game. So I think Florida A&M will win this game. I think it's going to be a close game early, but I think they pull away. I say they're gonna win 38-17. I think Fort Valley is gonna put up a fight. They're not an easy team, and they're coming in off of a very good defensive effort. So they're gonna try to do the same. But I think Florida A&M is gonna take care of business. That's gonna send us into our next matchup, which is Southern hosts Miles College, 6 p.m. kickoff in the Pete Richardson Classic. No television. The game can be heard on Q106.5 in Baton Rouge. So if you got iHeartRadio or TuneIn, you can catch it on there. This is a bounce back game for Southern. I know a lot of people, well, I'm not gonna say a lot of people, but there's been people who looked at the Troy game and they feel like Southern season is over. I mean, that cannot be the farthest thing from the truth right now. I mean, it's one game. Yes, they got destroyed, but they're definitely gonna be a factor in the SWAC regardless. You know, this season is still ahead of them. Basically the same thing I said about Alcorn after the MEAC SWAC challenge, I say in this game. But they Southern's gonna come in and do what Southern wants to always do, and that's run the football. And I think that running game is gonna be the key factor in this game, because Miles College had a close game against Alabama State. They lost, like I said, 14-13 in overtime, but they didn't necessarily set the world on fire on offense. And I think that's going to give Southern the opportunity to control the ball. They're going to probably do as much as they can to keep the game as a physical game, going to try to wear Miles down. And they're going to have to limit turnovers first and foremost. If they turn the ball over, then this game is going to be a battle that they don't need to be in. They need to really come out and take care of this game as best as they can, as quick as they can. Because the longer they let Miles College hang around, then the longer, the more chances Miles College will have to win this game. And they've already shown that against an FBS opponent, FCS opponent, that they are not going to fold just because they're a lower division team. They're going to come in, and what they did with Alabama State was try to slow the game down. I think they're going to try to limit the possessions that Southern has. But Southern is going to have to make plays on special teams. They did block an extra point against Troy, and Southern blocks a punt or two every year. So I think they'll be able to make some plays in special teams, and I think the defense should be able to get enough pressure to maybe force a turnover or two and allow that running game to get going. So I think Southern will bounce back in this game. I think it's going to be similar to what I said. The Florida A&M game would be a game where it's kind of tight and hairy early, but I think the deeper team will pull through. I think Southern will win this game. I'm going to say 38-20. I think Miles will put up a fight because Miles is definitely no joke. They're a very tough Division II opponent, and I think that they will fight and they won't quit. That's that game. I did miss one FBS matchup, and that's Southern Miss and Grambling. Grambling coming off their first victory against Tennessee State, so that's definitely something positive for them. They're hungry, and I think they're playing well, especially defensively. Offensively, I think they still have some work to do, but they are trending in the right direction. Southern Miss is coming in off of a 31-7 loss to South Alabama, which most people think South Alabama is one of the worst FBS teams in the country. So to lose 31-7 to a team like that is definitely not a good look. But this is the kind of game, if Grambling was a little bit more established, I would feel a little bit more comfortable picking them to beat Southern Mississippi. But right now I'm going Southern Miss because I think they'll find a way to get this game under control. I think they'll beat Grambling. I'm going to say I'm stuck on the teens today. I think 42-14, I think Grambling does put on a better showing, but their passing game is going to have to improve. And I think it's going to improve, on a week-by-week basis, that they'll be able to make some plays and get themselves an opportunity to stay in games. So now we're going to move on to our FCS matchups. We have three of those games on the schedule this week. The biggest game to me, obviously, is the Southern Heritage Classic, Jackson State of Tennessee State. And we'll talk about that in a minute. We do have two Southland versus SWAC matchups, and those games are very, very, very vital to the league this year. We need non-conference wins. We need wins over regional FCS opponents. I'll say that until I'm blue in the face. And obviously, if you see me, it's going to take a while for me to get blue in the face. So I'm going to keep saying it and keep saying it. It's very important that we start to win these games. Because if you're going to schedule these kind of teams, you need to beat these kind of teams. And Incarnate Word comes in off of a 44-14 loss to Youngstown State. That's a very high score. And in the spring, they were a team who scored a lot of points, but they also gave up a lot of points. So this is a good opportunity for Prairie View to be able to score some points. And I was, like I said in my recap, I was surprised by the output that Prairie View scored against Texas Southern because I didn't think the offense was going to be that good. You can say, yes, Texas Southern, but, hey, they only scored 20 points against Texas Southern in the spring. So that's a really better, that's a better output. And I like what they're doing. I like Juwan Pass if he can keep his turnovers under control. And they have LaDainian Brooks, the transfer from Grambling, at running back right now. He had a good game. And that Prairie View defense, I love a lot, especially Jason Dumas on the defensive line. Drake Cheatham in the secondary is a guy, Trayshawn Smith. That defense is very salty, and I love what they do out there. Coach Dooley has his team always play with attitude. And if that offense can stay consistent, then this is a game that I definitely can see Prairie View winning. I think having a quarterback like Pass who can run and pass is going to be a big factor in a game against a team who doesn't have any defense. Incarnate Word allowed 351 yards on the ground to Youngstown State, 4 touchdowns, 5.8 yards per play. Youngstown State only threw the ball 12 times in that game. They were 9-12, one touchdown, no interceptions. Incarnate Word is a team that likes to throw the ball. They threw the ball for 352 yards. They threw the ball 47 times, 28-47, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. They ran for 143 yards, 2 touchdowns. This was just a game that was both defenses were very much tested. Youngstown State was able to find some things, like I said, on the ground, and they took advantage of that. They actually had one guy run for 242 yards on the night and 2 touchdowns, and then they also had a guy run for 81 yards and 2 touchdowns. So I think if Prairie View can find some balance in their attack and they can run the ball, I think that's definitely going to help them, because with a big body quarterback like Pass, that definitely is going to open up some things. And that passing game, if it can get going, I think they're going to have a very good shot at this game. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game again. I'm going SWAC in these matchups, ain't no doubt about it. I think Prairie View has a good chance to be a solid contender in the SWAC West, much more than I did at the beginning of the season. And you can say, oh, this, you know, that's just Texas Southern. And, you know, to an extent, that is true. You know, it's only one game. And like I say, I feel like you can't go too far in one direction off of a win, and you can't go too far in the other direction off of a loss after week one. So there's still some semblance of reining in that has to be done. But I really feel like Prairie View is going to be a team that's going to be a tough team to beat in this division. So I think with everybody kind of having some questions right now after 1 week, I think Prairie View is sitting in a good spot. And this is a game that I think is a must win. And I think they will win. So I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I'm going to say 35-30. I think both teams are gonna score. I think there may be a couple turnovers in this game, but I think Prairie View's defense is better than Incarnate Word's defense right now, and I think Prairie View will be able to get a stop at least a couple stops to keep themselves in this game. That game is at Incarnate Word in San Antonio, so they will have to go on the road to get their victory, but I think they can do it. And they, like I said, they played fairly well against Southland opponents. Just hadn't really got a lot of W's, but they've always competed in these games, so I don't expect anything less from them in that. So that's going to be that score, 35-30 Prairie View. The next game I want to talk about is Alcorn and Northwestern State. 6 p.m. matchup in Lorman, Mississippi on the reservation. This to me is as much of a must-win week two game as you can get. Obviously Alcorn didn't have the best of showings in the MEAC SWAC challenge, but you know, you can chalk that up to a lot of different things, but they definitely have to play better. And this again is a FCS regional opponent from the Southland. These are the type of games that I feel like you have to win. Historically, when SWAC teams have beaten these kind of teams, they've gone on to have pretty good seasons. So Northwestern State is, you know, they're a team who hasn't been that good recently. So you really need to beat a team like this. They were 1-5 in the spring. They actually lost their only game so far on the season. So they come in at 0-1. They lost to North Texas 44-14. And they are really going to – Alcorn is going to have to take advantage of any opportunities that they get. North turnovers and big plays did Northwestern State in this game. They did. They allowed 244 yards rushing to North Texas running back and three touchdowns. Northwestern State turned the ball over four times. So they can be hit on the ground. And I think Alcorn really needs to go back to what Alcorn does, and that's running football. You have Anderson and Duffy as two of the guys who can tote that load for them. And, you know, if they can run the ball, then that makes it easier for the passing attack to get going. The offensive line is going to have to really be solid and make you know, give the quarterback time to throw. If Felix Harper has time to throw, then they're going to be in good shape for this game. I think defensively, the defensive line is going to have to get pressure and help out the secondary because the safeties were busy against North Carolina Central. So I'm really liking Alcorn's chances in this game. I would probably be even more confident if they had won that first game, but obviously they didn't. So I still feel like Alcorn has a good chance to win this game. It may be a little bit closer than most think. Although most probably think Alcorn is going to lose this game. I'm going to say they're going to win it because I think that, you know, this team has had some time off after that game. And I'm sure it left a sour taste in their mouth, and they're ready to get back out there and prove that they can play. They may not be the Alcorn of past times, but this team is still going to be a dangerous team, and they're still going to be a tough out. So that's something I think that they're going to lean on. I think they're going to be a lot better than they were in that first game. I think they got some things out the way, and I think they'll be able to make some plays. So I think they're going to win this game. I'm going to say 24-14. I think defensively, I think they'll get a couple big plays for them in offense or make the plays that they did early in the MEAC/SWAC Challenge. I think they'll be more consistent with that. Our final game that I want to talk about is Southern Heritage Classic, Tennessee State and Jackson State hooking up in Memphis. I'm gonna keep it real, real funky with y'all, man. I don't think this game is gonna be that close. Honestly, I don't. I mean, I don't want to jinx nobody because sometimes I am a jinx. If I say somebody gonna do good, they tend to do bad. If I say they're gonna do bad, they tend to do good. But I was very impressed with that Jackson State defense. You know, everybody talked about it in the preseason, and you know, it's sometimes you just have to see things for yourself. I mean, I knew a lot of those guys could play, and you know, they did what they set out to do. They made FAMU very uncomfortable, and they were able to feast on that. Offensively, they played well despite the point total. They Shador had a very good game. I mean, obviously, if you look at the statistics, over 200 yards passing, no interceptions, didn't throw a touchdown, had one touchdown run. Did have two fumbles. I chalked those up to one as a freshman mistake and one as just one of those fluke kind of football fumbles. You know, those kind of things happen. But I was impressed with his play. The game never seemed to be too big for him. I think he kept his poise. You know, they had a couple of times where they had the ball deep on their own end, and he threw some beautiful passes out of the end zone. So he's only going to get better as time goes. And this game, I think, should be a good outing for Jackson State. Tennessee State, I think they have some work to do. They played three quarterbacks in the Grambling game. They do have a nice running back in Devon Starling. I like him a lot. They have a couple receivers that are pretty good, but I just don't think that they have the talent there. And I was, you know, I think Jackson is going to do what they need to do because I don't think Tennessee State is going to be able to move the ball that much in this game. So I think this is going to be a blowout, man. Honestly, I think this game is going to be tough for Tennessee State to move the ball, especially if they can't decide on the quarterback. I think a guy like Hickbottom could help them, but he is mistake prone as well. So he's new to the program and the system, and obviously with a new coach and a new coaching staff, totally, you know, they're working in a new system altogether. So I don't see them being able to just line up and run the ball at Jackson State for the bulk of the game and stay in it. It's going to take some smoke and mirrors for them to keep this game under control. I'm not going to predict nothing wild. You know, like, I don't think it's going to be like a 50 to nothing type of blowout. This, to me, is going to be one of those Alabama blowouts, if you know what I'm talking about. A game where the score is not that crazy, but it is worse than the outcome of the game is worse than what the score is. I say like 35 to 10, but it's probably going to feel worse because I think Tennessee State is going to have to work to move the football. I just don't feel that confident in what they're doing right now. I don't know if Eddie George is going to be able to do enough to get this team to where they need to be. They have a lot of turning over of their roster to do, and this year is not the year for them. I think the Blue Bengals of Jackson State are going to take another step to where they want to go. I think the dark side defense is coming around. I know I saw somebody say the dark side defense ain't quite there, but it's getting real cloudy. But I think they about as close to the dark side defense as Jackson has had in a long time. So I think this game is going to be all JSU. And if Tennessee State comes to play, then that will make this game interesting. But I don't really see that. So that wraps up a busy week, man. It's 9-game schedule. All out of conference, like I said, you got a variety of games. You got FBS money games. You got a couple of Division II games. And you got some FCS regional opponent games and one historical classic game. So almost anything that you could ask for is there. That's what you want from a college football schedule in a week. Varied games, you know, a lot of different outcomes, a lot of different times for to see what can happen. And that's I'm excited. You know, this is gonna be the first game I get to go to this year. I will be at Southern Miles game. Obviously Southern is my home base, and I'm a season ticket holder, so I'll be there all the time. North End Zone, baby, represent. So I'm excited to finally be able to see some live football in person. And hopefully, you know, if you guys are going to games, that you would be careful and be safe out there. And enjoy some good swag football. I think this weekend will be a lot better for most teams. Some teams are going to be a little bit harder because, you know, they're taking a step up in caliber of play, and that's going to change some things. But let's do another quick run through of the actual schedule with kickoff times and TV and whatnot. So in case you missed it, Bethune-Cookman at UCF. That's a 5:30 kickoff, 5:30 Eastern kickoff, 4:30 Central on ESPN Plus. Jackson State and Tennessee State hooking up in Memphis. That's a 6:00 kickoff. I think the game is also on ESPN Plus, ESPN 3. I can't remember which one. Alabama State at Auburn, 11:00 kickoff, SEC Network. Florida A&M hosts Fort Valley State. That's a 5:00 kickoff game. It can be heard on the Rattler Sports Network on the radio. Texas Southern at Baylor, 6:00 kickoff. Big Ten now on ESPN Plus. Grambling at Southern Miss, 6:00 kickoff, ESPN 3. Northwestern State at Alcorn, 6:00 kickoff. I'm sure the game, Alcorn Radio Network will probably be broadcasting that game. Miles College at Southern, 6:00 kickoff. Q106 in Baton Rouge, you can catch that game. And Incarnate Word hosts Prairie View, 7:00 kickoff. Not quite sure of the any television, but Prairie View radio broadcast will have the action for you. So that's going to do it for this week. Like I said, this was a busy week. 9 games, had a lot to cover, got through it. We'll be back on Sunday to recap all this action. And tomorrow, a live edition of Swag Smoke, 6:30 p.m. Central Time, 7:30 Eastern. Come on out and check it out. And I will see you guys on the rebound, man. I'm out of here.